The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition, where we're going to dive a little deeper than normal into a more narrow topic than we handle on our Q&A show. On today's show, we're going to talk about missed 60-day rollovers, and just a little twist on that, we're going to address this in the form of a review of PLRs, so IRS private letter rulings and court cases, as Jim said, without having his microphone turned on. But we're going to actually review some people who tried to do certain things or failed to do certain things and what the ramifications were as they missed their 60-day rollover. And through this, I think, more entertaining approach than just reading off the rules about what happens on a missed 60-day rollover, we can express it in the form of stories about certain people and what they could get away with, what they couldn't get away with, and that'll help clarify what you can and can't do on a 60-day rollover. I apologize first to those people who are expecting to hear a Roth conversion strategy that we teased on last week's EDU show. We found out today we don't have enough time to do that one. It's going to be a little more involved, so we're going to do that one next week. So that's still coming imminently. So those of you on the edge of your seat for that, just stay tuned for next week's EDU show. So, Jim?
Yes, okay.
What do you have?
What we're going to do today is... We're not going to get deep into missed 60-day roll. Actually, we should do that on a separate EDU show.
I think we've done one before, though.
On self-certification?
Yeah.
We did? Was it recent?
We've definitely talked about it. I don't know how long ago.
Okay. What Chris and I are discussing right now is there's a... A 60-day rollover, folks, in case you don't know, if you're a new listener or if you don't quite understand what Chris and I are talking about, the IRS or Congress, IRS just interprets laws, they don't create them. Congress granted IRA owners the ability to take money out of their IRA, just withdraw it at any age. Take the money out of your IRA, younger than 59 and a half, older than 59 and a half, doesn't matter. Just take the money out, tell the IRA custodian, don't withhold any taxes, don't withhold any penalties, just send me the money. Who was that? That was Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Show me the money and give you the money. And as long as you take that money and put it into another IRA, within 60 days... 60 days when? This confuses a lot of people. When does the clock start? Well, we'll get into this on the EDU that we were going to be doing today on our strategy for Roth conversions using a 60-day rollover. But this show is going to be rather short, only about 40, 45 minutes, because Chris has to take his students to Minneapolis, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's on his way to Minneapolis, and we don't have enough time to record the show we wanted. Anyways... We'll get into more depth on that show when the 60-day clock begins, but in short, it begins when you physically receive the funds. So when the funds were physically deposited into your bank account, if you're doing it electronically, or when you physically touch the check, if they're mailing you a check. Not when the check was put in your mailbox, but when you actually got the check, because a real PLR, which we're not going to review today, private letter ruling, someone was in jail, Chris, and never got the check. He couldn't. He was in jail. The check was delivered, but he was in jail. Poor guy got arrested after he decided to do a 60-day rollover. And the IRS ruled in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Granted him forgiveness.
Gave him some forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, 60 days from the day you receive the check or the money is deposited in your account, the day you touch the check, you have to get that money back into another IRA within 60 days. Seems easy enough, does it not, Chris?
Seems so. Seems nice and clear. 60 days.
Bye.
Weekends included.
Absolutely.
Holidays included.
Seems fine to me.
Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward.
But it doesn't work that way. People make mistakes. And I've got a few here that I want to go over. And one has to do with bankruptcy. And I'm not going to do that one first. But I want to mark that one. That was an interesting court case. Okay.
So what these are is cases where people, the IRS is accusing them of missing the 60-day limit, and they're arguing they should be granted some sort of forgiveness or mercy, and the court is going to rule upon these things.
Okay. So here we have a case. This one came out a few years ago. And what I'm going to do is lay out the facts. Some of these are court cases. Some of these are private letter rulings. This one is a PLR, private letter ruling, meaning it applies only for the taxpayer. But you can determine or divine IRS's intent. So I'm going to lay out the facts.
And they make it applicable, just so you know, to that particular taxpayer who asked the question, who asked for the private letter ruling, because they don't want someone to take someone else's private letter ruling and hold it up, wave it in the IRS's face as proof that they should get some similar treatment or something. They want to handle all these cases on their unique merits and rule individually. So these aren't broad. But we, like Jim said, you can get a sense for how the IRS is going to interpret your case if yours is substantially similar to someone else who got the PLR.
Okay. So here we had a case of a person. This came out in February. Okay. So we're going to call this guy Frank. That's what they're calling him, Frank. Now, they redact out. You can't figure out who these people are. It's not a court case. So, court case, everything is known. The person's name, where they live, the facts of the case. The IRS, on a private letter ruling, just lays out a few facts of the case. But in short, they called this guy Frank. His intention, Chris, is to buy an investment property. Mm-hmm. And to put that investment property into his IRA.
Hmm.
Frank had a lawyer, a CPA, a realtor, and a financial advisor. Sounds like a bad joke.
Well, yeah.
All walk into a bar. Right. A lawyer, a CPA, a realtor, and a financial advisor walk into a bar. Sitting there is a guy named Frank. But anyways, Frank had...
Seemed well-equipped with advice.
The IRS points this out. But he had a lawyer, a CPA, a realtor, and a financial advisor. Frank's intent was to buy an investment property and place it in his self-directed IRA. Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain what that means?
Well, self-directed means that you typically are allowed to invest in anything that's not barred to be put in your IRA, which is pretty much collectibles and precious metals and art. Well, that's collectibles, right? Collectibles, life insurance, precious metals? No.
Precious metals are allowed if there's certain kinds. Correct.
Right, restrictions. So
for the most part, collectibles and life insurance.
Yeah, practically anything else can be put in there as long as you follow the rest of the rules. So real estate is something that a lot of people are interested in putting inside their IRA for a variety of reasons. Not all IRA custodians will allow it. So it's typically what are referred to as self-directed IRAs that essentially the custodian puts on you the burden to self-regulate what you put in there to make sure you follow the rules. So you're self-directing it without a lot of guidance from the actual custodian, but they'll allow you to do it. So it's these self-directed IRAs that are most common where you're going to find someone trying to put something like real estate.
Okay. So let's go through what Frank was going to do. Frank's intent was to buy an investment property in his self-directed IRA. To make sure everything was done correctly, Frank worked with a CPA, a lawyer, a realtor, and a financial advisor to help him with this. On February 1st and February 6th, Frank took two distributions from his IRA to buy the investment property.
Well, oops. Right. Already. Okay. Already things are going wrong.
He went downhill right away. Right. What Chris is getting at, folks, kind of gives away. Normally,
sorry.
I ask Chris.
Should I be quiet until you're at the end?
But he gave it away. but it gets better. So this blows up. Obviously, you guys know where this is going. Frank is going to lose his private letter ruling to the IRS, which probably cost him $20,000+ just to put the private letter ruling to get filing fees, not even the cost of the professionals.
The lawyer, the CPA, the realtor.
Well, hopefully they're doing it for him for free. But anyways, you have to also get the cost of the professionals. So he's in the hole a lot of freaking money, this Frank guy. Okay. He blew it right off the bat, folks. You're only allowed what, Chris?
160-day rollover in a 12-month period.
Correct.
So now, by doing two, there's no possible way he could complete two rollovers.
It gets a little confusing. Because what if he received the check on the same day? What if February 10th, he was on vacation when he did all this? He called from the beach in Maui to request these distributions. And when he got home February 10th, he went out and touched both checks on the same day. That doesn't matter. Right. Touching the checks is how
the clock starts
for 60 days. Right. But
those are two separate.
The rollover is affected when the money leaves, when it comes out, when it's sent to you. And you can only do one per year. Now, you can do multiple. You could do 20 of them all on the same day. But once you get to a new day, it doesn't count. And that confuses a lot of people. Doesn't matter. As long as, and remember, the IRS considers your IRAs to be one big-ass IRA. So you can do multiple in one day. Hey, I took out $100,000 at noon, but goodness, I realized by 3 I needed more money, so I took out another $100,000.
No problem.
It's still done on the same day. Frank didn't do that. Frank took money out February 1st, and I don't know who blew the first thing and told him he needed more. I'm guessing the realtor. I don't know. But someone said, hey, Frank, you need more money. So he's like, no problem. And he took more money out February 6th. Okay. So he took that money and he bought the investment home. Okay. Now he makes matters worse. He used the money from his IRA distribution to buy the investment property outside of the IRA. So he took money out of one IRA that was not a self-directed IRA. And let me clear the air here a little for you do-it-yourselfers or anyone listening to this. The self-directed IRA is no different than any other IRA. What makes it unique is the custodian and what the custodian will allow you to own in the IRA. If you go to Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity, all these big providers, they're going to limit you to stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, typical things like that. Some might let you get into some more non-traditional assets, maybe a REIT or something like that. Some will, some won't. But when you start getting into these esoteric hard assets. I want to invest in a pool hall. All right, we did one of these shows in the past, Chris, on someone who bought a pizza place. Mm-hmm. Only problem is he used to eat at the pizza place. And if you remember that
caused
one.
Caused some issues. Yeah,
that caused some issues. So a self-directed custodian, Chris, will allow you to own real estate. Mm-hmm. Try you Vanguardians, try calling up Vanguard and tell them, hey, I want to take $400,000 of my IRA that you're managing, and I want you to go out excuse me, and buy this investment property for me. Vanguard's going to say, no, we don't do that. They're not going to deal with all the hassles of owning it. A self-directed custodian, their niche, if you will, their specialty, is to let you buy anything. So Frank had the money in an IRA that was not at a self-directed custodian.
Mm-hmm.
He also wanted to buy this property really fast. So he thought, I'm just going to take the money out, I'll buy the property, and within 60 days, put that property into my self-directed IRA. Now, I don't know if his attorney, CPA, realtor, or financial advisor was counseling with him and encouraging him that this is a brilliant idea. You would hope one of these four professionals would pick up on two mistakes. The first mistake, Frank took the money out in two separate transactions, mm-hmm, on two separate days. That's what blew it. That made it a multiple rollover.
But before they changed the rule on the 60-day rollovers,
true, he could
issue,
have done
it. If depending on when the what accounts these came out of, he could have accomplished this under the old rules.
If he took it from two separate IRAs,
right?
Because under the old rules, they looked at the number of IRAs. Right. We would actually break a big IRA into smaller IRAs, and you could do multiple. It was per IRA.
Right.
Tax court ruled in the Bobro case several years ago that nope. IRS was wrong all the time on their interpretation. It's not number of IRAs. It's taxpayer per taxpayer.
One per taxpayer. Yep.
Okay, so Frank takes the money, buys the house, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far, no problem.
No problem as long as he wants a giant distribution.
Well, I mean, right now, no problem he got the house. Right. There's a problem in how he did it, but no problem on buying the house.
Right.
However, before you knew it, 60 days was over, and no one, Frank or his crack team of an attorney, CPA, realtor, and financial advisor, had actually opened a self-directed IRA and transferred the house to it.
What? Hey, this is part of a bad joke.
60 days travels kind of fast. It goes by like that.
That's a core element of this whole attempt.
Yes, was to actually get it in there, the self-directed IRA and transfer the title ownership into the... Right.
Uh-huh.
That was the intent. So when... I don't know, again, because the IRS doesn't get into this on a PLR, which of the five people here, Frank or the four horsemen of the apocalypse... I don't know which one dawned on them first that no one ever opened. Could you imagine them all sitting around saying,
yeah,
I thought you opened it. I didn't open it. I thought you opened it. I didn't do it. I thought you did it.
Yeah.
Anyways, soon they realized, we got a problem here, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't open a self-directed IRA at a self-directed IRA custodian and transfer the home into it, and it's been more than 60 days. This is a taxable distribution to you, Frank. Now, of course, Chris and I have pointed out, because Chris is smart, he knew right away, and I should have known as soon as I mentioned the two distributions, you were going to pick up on it. And I should have had you not blurt out the answer. But for you listeners, this was blown up day one. Day five.
Yeah.
5 days later on February 6th when he did another distribution.
Right.
But of course his crack group of what's a funny name for them? I don't know.
The Four Stooges?
Instead of the Three Stooges, the Four Stooges. Okay. The Four Stooges, Mo, Larry, Curly, and Shemp, all of them together.
Right.
No one picked up on it back then. Someone picked up on it, but we don't know who in the private letter ruling, and told Frank, Houston, we got a problem. Hey, Frank, it's been more than 60 days. You didn't get the ownership of the house into the IRA. You're screwed. You need to apply for a private letter ruling, Frank. Now, Frank is already on the hook for a boatload of taxes. He just doesn't know it yet because his crack team of four stooges never told him he did multiple distributions, multiple rollovers, because his second rollover on February 6th was not done on February 1st with the first rollover, so he already blew that up. So they didn't tell him that part yet. They said, apply for a private letter ruling and ask for forgiveness. Frank's defense, he was busy. It's just a lot going on, shuffling a lot of things around here. He never once blamed his advice givers.
Well, he should have.
He should have, absolutely. Because under self-certification, I'm not saying Frank would have won. And self-certification is, it would have allowed him to do some things and say to the IRS, certify to the IRS, hey, I made a mistake. It was caused by one of the 11 exemptions, one of which is I got bad advice from a financial professional. And the IRS can give forgiveness on that. And in fact, they may not even question it. They might be, oh, okay, he's self-certified.
And didn't even have to do the PLR.
Exactly. Okay.
If they didn't know about handling the 60-day rule, they probably didn't know about self-certification either. So,
what he claimed, he freely admitted what he was trying to do in the private letter ruling, which was his mistake. If he actually had four stooges who knew what they were doing, well, they would have told him you're screwed a long time ago, or they would have approached this differently. Blame it on the four stooges. That's where he made a mistake. Instead, Frank claimed he was ill and undergoing treatment for an underlying illness that contributed to his, quote, inability to adequately manage his finances, including the purchase of his real estate. And that's what caused him to run over. However, when the IRS asked for proof, he had no proof of an illness and treatments.
He just made that claim.
Now, I'm not saying Frank's making stuff up and his four advisors. I'd love to have a fly on the wall.
This is the four stooges of the apocalypse.
Okay, the IRS denied Frank's request for more time to complete the rollover. The IRS said because he didn't provide proof or documentation showing any outside factors caused his failure to complete the rollover. And as far as his medical condition, the IRS noted, during this time, Frank, you continued to maintain employment and handle all other affairs except
the 60-day rollover. Wow, this one's good. This is a classic.
I wonder if they signed the PLR Epstein's mother.
Wow, I feel bad. I'm laughing because I feel bad
for Frank.
Frank, oh yeah, he surrounded himself with this army.
What people don't know why Chris and I are laughing, the advisors who caused this problem told him to file a PLR.
It's like, hey, look.
That was 20 grand.
Look a wound. Let me pour salt in it.
Hey, Frank, we haven't screwed you over enough. Spend another 20 grand and file this PLR. Plus pay us our professional fees, I would assume,
and
they charged them.
And claim something for which you have no proof or documentation.
Right. Don't blame us, which is the only thing that might have worked here.
And at no real punishment to the advice givers. That's the crazy thing. It's not the IRS doesn't go after them and say, well, you gave Frank bad advice. Instead of him paying the penalty, you're going to pay
it. No, but what it would have done was open them to liability if Frank loses.
True, if he loses.
They can say, hey, you admitted this was your fault. IRS showed me no relief. I'm now suing you. They didn't blame themselves. They blamed a mystery illness to which the IRS points out you kept working. And you did everything else in your life.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, all jokes aside, this was screwed from the beginning as well. Because one thing his advisors didn't point out that I want to point out to all our do-it-yourselfers and to all you younger advisors who are listening to this to learn things. IRA 60-day rollovers are subject to the same property rule. Same property rule says when you do a 60-day rollover from an IRA, the same property that leaves is the same property that must be put in.
Right.
Frank took out cash.
Yep. I was going to point that out, too. I was too busy laughing to
get he to was going point. To try to put in a house.
Yeah. Not going to work.
Not going to work. It blew up there as well. And his advisor should have known that. Which one? I'm going to guess the realtor, but I don't want to throw the realtor under the bus. But they tend to be the least knowledgeable in this. But all four of these people, to counsel with Frank, to take cash out of an IRA, buy a house, and roll the house into the new IRA within 60 days won't work. Because of the same property rule. It would have worked for some bizarre reason. It would have worked if Frank took the cash out of a 401k. 401ks do not have the same property rule. But Frank would have ran into another problem. What's that?
Well, you can't put a house into a 401k.
No, but he could take money out of a 401k.
Put a house into an IRA.
Put a house into an IRA. But what happens when you take cash out of the 401k?
They're going to withhold taxes. Right. So he couldn't have gotten all the amount.
20% withholding.
Yeah, now he could technically get that back when he files his taxes later on, as if just like when you pay too much in from your paycheck and then at the end it turns out you don't really owe it, they give it back to you. Same kind of circumstance. If he did everything right and didn't create that taxable event by completing the rollover properly, he gets it back, but that might be many, many months later when he files his taxes the following year.
Right. So the problem would have been, or the problem is, twofold. Not only did he blow it by taking one cash distribution on February 1st, another cash distribution on February 6th, and this happened in 2015, but this didn't get released until recently. It takes a while to make it through that process. So by time they figured it out, it was already 2016 because the IRS is coming after him. So he files the PLR in 2017, and I think the ruling came out in 2018. So it gives you an idea how long all this takes. But it was blown right away at the beginning. But not only that, the advice givers were clueless on the same property rule when it comes to rollovers from an IRA. So you can't tell someone, take the cash out of your IRA,
turn it into something else.
Right. That gold with it, buy that house with it, buy that...
even stock.
Whatever, stock with it, and then move it into the IRA. It wouldn't have worked. Even if he took all the money out once, either February 1st or February 6th, it won't work. So a 401k would have worked, but 20% would have been withheld in taxes, so he would have had to have factored that in to make sure net of the 20... At first, he'd have to have the money in a 401k. Second, he would have to have then called the 401k and have access to it. So he separated from service or something. He has access to the 401k. He could have took the cash out. He would have had to have taken out more than he needed to make sure 20% gets withheld in taxes, which he'd get back later, but owe taxes on. That is a distribution. He could have rolled over the other 80% as the house, because 401ks don't have the same property rule. So he could have done it with the 401k. Wouldn't have been a total tax-free rollover, but he could have done it that way. But he blew it because he didn't get it all done within 60 days. 60 days goes by fast. It seems like, oh, I got plenty of time. I'll take care of it later. And before you know it, 3, 4, 5 weeks go by, and you're thinking, holy moly, I'm coming up to the end. I got to get this done. The legal paperwork alone to take a house that's had been purchased in your name, not the IRA's name, because you're doing it as a rollover, and get it into the IRA's name alone would have been a nightmare. I would have never tried to do this. Okay, So we went kind of long on that, so I'm only going to give one more, and then we're going to wrap this up. This
well, let me mention the on the same property rule, it doesn't have to be the same dollars of cash. Cash is fungible, so you just to be clear, if you take it out, put it in a savings account, and then you go spend that on something, but then you take cash from somewhere else to put it back in to complete the rollover, that would work. So it's only when you transform that cash into some other type of thing that then you violated the rule. So just to be, because I'm sure other people are thinking, oh, I have to have these actual dollars tracked to the dollar. It's not, they're not going to match serial numbers or anything like that.
Okay, this one was kind of a sad case. It came out on April 15th, 2019. What is April 15th?
That's tax day.
Tax day. So I thought this was appropriate. This case is sad in the sense, I do feel bad for this guy, not because of what happened to him, but because of the problem he clearly has. Okay, so here's a case that happened. And let me look at this. This is actually a court case. I don't know if I should use this guy's name. Let's protect his anonymity. We'll call him George. His real name is being used. I don't want to do all that.
It's not pertinent.
It's from Illinois. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman, kind of a sad case. The gentleman was... It's a bankruptcy case, but it had to do with 60-day rollovers. What had happened is this guy, back in April of 2018, I'm guessing that had to have been right around a big lottery drawing, and you know how the media plays it all up, because he took $50,000 out of his IRA and started buying lottery tickets with it. He put $49,000 in his checking account and immediately spent $1,000 on lottery tickets. And then over the next few weeks, he kept buying more and more and more lottery tickets, but never won. All totaled, he spent $30,000 on lottery tickets out of the 50. And I bet you if we Google it, don't Google it, but I bet you if we look it up, had to have been one of the massive Powerball drawings or something right around that time.
Yeah.
Okay, now he realizes this isn't good and I'm going to owe some taxes on this. So still within the 60 days, he moves the other $20,000 back to an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So at least he got 20 of the 50 rolled over. He took it out once, no problem. Bought $30,000 worth of lottery tickets, was down to just 20. Realizes either this is stupid or the big drawing, because you know how the big ones sometimes go multiple weeks. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was.
Maybe a hit. And it went
right.
Back,
he didn't win. He's got 20 grand less, left rather, and he moves it back to the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Well within the 60 days. Okay. Then he owes $9,000 in taxes mm-hmm. on the $30,000 that was withheld.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the money for that. In fact, he doesn't have the money for anything. So he declares bankruptcy in October. The bankruptcy trustee took him to court. And the bankruptcy argued that the funds Mr. Jones withdrew from his IRA were commingled with other money in his checking account.
Mm-hmm.
He also felt that because he used the money in his IRA when it was out during the 60-day rollover period, and that it wasn't sequestered away and he didn't use it, it exposes all money, including the $20,000 that was rolled back into the IRA, to bankruptcy proceedings. Because remember, the federal government protects IRAs from bankruptcy. They don't protect from general creditors. So the bankruptcy trustee was claiming it should be subject as if we're general creditors because he took it out, commingled it with assets that are subject to bankruptcy and used it for other things. He wasn't just transferring the money.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to win.
So the bankruptcy trustee went to bankruptcy court and said, we, meaning the bankruptcy trustee, should have access to that $20,000. Mm-hmm. What do you think court ruled?
No.
No what?
No, they can't have access to it. The reason is, on the rollover, and this is my logic, hopefully it's consistent with the court, the rollover actually is completed the day it leaves. The fact that it was out swimming around in the world for 60 days is irrelevant. As long as you get it back in, it's thought of as, it's treated as if it was never outside the IRA. So it wasn't actually exposed during that period. The money that stayed out, of course, then is exposed. But as long as you get it back in there, my opinion is the rollover was completed on the day it was distributed, and it's protected.
You hit the nail on the head. The court said the 60-day rollover rule would be largely
superfluous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I could say that. Just didn't know how it was spelt, but I could say that. The 60-day rollover rule would be largely superfluous. Mm-hmm. Did I hit it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Superfluous if it did not permit the account owner to receive the money and use it within the 60-day period without destroying the character of the IRA's exempt nature. In fact, the 60-day rule would never serve a useful purpose for any IRA holder if the money would not automatically maintain its qualified status. So mm-hmm. the courts are saying, that's stupid right. to say just because you took it out, mm-hmm. the law allows it.
The bankruptcy trustee was trying to make this argument of commingling, which has nothing to do with this.
So what I wanted to say on that one, when you do a 60-day rollover, it does maintain its protected status when mm-hmm. you have it. And he didn't have to wait to declare bankruptcy. He could have declared bankruptcy during that 60-day.
While it was out.
As long as he got it back in. Now, the sad part is for him, it's twofold. I mean, the guy has a gambling problem, or I would assume. He had to have been trying to hit it big. Obviously, he couldn't afford to gamble away $30,000, but he did on a state lottery. So this is the government was pimping him the hope of a successful retirement or a dream by just get some money. Guy has a gambling problem. That's what I feel bad about. But remember, I noticed almost innocuously at the beginning that he didn't have the money to pay $9,000 in taxes and penalties. Is his money inside the IRA protected from that?
From?
The IRS.
The IRS? No.
No, not at all. The IRS Congress granted everyone bankruptcy protection, but the IRS. They can go into the IRA and get that $9,000 and get the penalties owed on it. Not protected.
And something that's a little caveat, a little tangent, like you like to go on that. If he were to take the money out to pay the taxes voluntarily, if he's under the age of 59 and a half, it's subject to a 10% penalty and taxes. If the IRS uses a legal document to go in and extract it,
a lien,
mandatorily, say they're going to rip it out of there. That's one of the exceptions to the 10% early withdrawal penalty.
And that's why often says, just let the IRS lien
it.
Don't take the money out of the qualified. If that's the only place where the money is, don't take the money out of the qualified account. Let the IRS place a lien on it and come get it because you won't owe the 10% penalty.
Now, we're not bankruptcy attorneys, but there are some. limits on the IRS's ability to collect past taxes in a bankruptcy.
Correct.
There are some limitations there, which we're not going to go into because, again, we're not bankruptcy attorneys. So, but if anyone's listening, you might be screaming at the podcast, oh, this or that exception, blah, blah, blah. Point is, the IRS can go in, reach into your IRA and extract taxes that you owe them.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are. I don't think you can declare bankruptcy and be abolished of all your tax debt. I can't see that.
If I remember correctly, again, we're not attorneys, but I think it's more, there's a recency thing. If they're really, really old taxes, those get wiped. But if they're more recent or something
like
that.
Well, this is recent. It was the taxes he owed on the 30 grand that he bought lottery tickets with, plus the penalties for not paying it and the early withdrawal penalties. Again, the guy has, it's a sad case, but we can learn from it.
At least he won the protection of the 20,000 staying in there.
Unlike Frank. I feel bad for this guy. Mm-hmm. Frank might be a really nice guy. He just surrounded himself with four dumb people and gave him some bad advice. This gentleman dug himself in the hole himself, but when he declared bankruptcy, his money is protected. He did get it into the IRA in time. If he didn't, if he got it in there later, there would be no protection on that money because it was a
distribution and it's out now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Anyways, we'll wrap that up there. Hopefully you guys kind of found this EDU show a little fun and interesting. We apologize for not getting into our deeper strategy on using a 60. Here we are talking about mistakes with 60-day rollovers, and we're going to do a strategy on how to use a 60-day rollover to affect a Roth conversion to buy you more time as you're trying to figure out your tax liability. We'll get into what we mean by that on the next EDU show. And I will warn people now and warn people on that show, don't try this at home. The strategy Chris and I are going to go over with. It's a joke. I'm being facetious, of course. Be very careful. These two examples, Chris, show you 60-day rollovers can easily be blown up. So you got to be very careful with the strategy when we teach it to you. But we'll talk about that on the next EDU.
Perfect. So we remind everybody, always at the end of the show, on these EDU shows, that we are living, breathing, practicing financial planners, specializing in retirement planning. We're in the northern Colorado area, but we help people all over the country. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about what we do, have a free consultation. We offer what's called a coffee and a second opinion, where we can chat a little bit about your situation. We can describe what we do here, and if it happens to appear to be a good fit, hopefully we can then form a relationship moving forward. If you have a situation that we don't really have the skills or services that will be of benefit to you, hopefully we can direct you to a place or resource that can help you out. The best way to get a hold of us is from the website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And on there, you'll find a contact form, really easy to fill out. Be happy to get right back to you and move forward. So thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with a brand new show.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.